It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The real estate scam that savaged my grandfather's neighborhood. I'm David Brancaccio. First, a federal appeals court has put on hold parts of a lower court order blocking access to the drug mifepristone, the abortion pill. That means the pill will be available, but with some restrictions, Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
A three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans last night issued a partial stay of a Texas judge's preliminary injunction blocking access to mifepristone, which, along with another drug, is used to end pregnancy. Until the appeals court can fully hear the case, the drug will remain available, but with pre-2016 restrictions put back in place, which means, barring further court action, the drug won't be available by mail or after 7 weeks of pregnancy. The case is likely headed to the Supreme Court, with a nervous pharmaceutical industry watching closely. Hundreds of executives from the more than $500 billion industry have released an open letter condemning the lower court's decision, saying, among other things, that it disincentivizes investment in new drugs. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Now to the time my late grandfather was once mentioned in the New York Times. It's one paragraph from way back in 1972. Hi Fleischer owned a bar in the Sunset Park section of Brooklyn, New York. The paper mentions Grandpa Hi noticing something weird. Business cards from real estate speculators showering that increasingly dilapidated neighborhood. No one knew why. Well, mystery solved, the cards were part of a crooked real estate scheme involving property speculators, home appraisers, even officers of a Wall Street credit ratings agency. Longtime residents were persuaded to sell cheap. Then their homes were sold on to low-income buyers at inflated prices. Many buyers couldn't handle the overpriced properties, which were then abandoned. The predators would pocket the federal insurance on the loans. It led to a flurry of indictments. There are echoes of the scandal today, both in Brooklyn and in cities around the country. The building's still here, but my grandfather's bar is long gone. It's now Charlie's, where they fix up and sell used appliances. I'm standing among the fridges and ovens, close to the spot where Grandpa Hi and his apron used to pull drafts of Ballantine beer. An urban revitalization strategist and MacArthur Award winner agreed to meet me here.
Majora Carter, good to see you.
Good to see you too, David, as always.
You got to look at that New York Times article from all those years ago. It's almost 50 years.
Unfortunately, it felt like it was written yesterday.
It's a complicated story, but if we boil it down a bit into steps, step number one was that there were residents here who were told the neighborhood is changing, and they were nervous, right? And then what happens in that situation?
They sell early and cheap.
They sell cheap. So there was someone wanting to buy up property here in Sunset Park.
Yeah, and understanding that playing on the fears of folks, you know, who are looking at their asset, this American dream, like literally just go to pot, and they think that's the case. And of course, like, that's, unfortunately, our history is filled with so many of those examples that it just really does, like, count on people, like, not understanding the value in their own community and other folks preying upon that.
So in this neighborhood, some people sold cheap, and then a real estate speculator bought cheap, was able to find a buyer, but at inflated values in many cases. So maybe the person bought, maybe they could just afford this mortgage. It was subsidized by the government. In fact, it was guaranteed. And they get the house, and it turns out, no, the electricity wasn't upgraded. No, the plumbing needed a lot of work. They might not have had the money to do the upkeep.
And they usually didn't. But could you imagine just how people were feeling? I can't even imagine what it felt like to folks who were just like, no, I'm part of this American dream thing, and then all of a sudden I don't have it, and I feel stupid. And I think that unfortunately, is the way a lot of folks, you know, who are not a part of that, the folks who are running those scams and who are personally and professionally benefiting from it, they weren't the little guys.
So if they couldn't keep up the payments, they often had to abandon the property. They were foreclosed upon. Mm-hmm. And then in this special case, because there were special federal programs at work, the lender was able to recoup the money from the feds, but then the property would just lay fallow.
Yeah, the lender was able to recoup the property, the broker that they worked with. There was everybody got a little bit of it, except for the person who was trying to build some generational wealth for their family. And those levels, I think, of corruption and the scale at which it went through were the kind of things I think we need to like recognize still happen from, you know, immigrants of all colors getting, we're definitely still seeing it for, you know, black and brown folks who are still looking at this. But it's just troubling that we're not learning from the mistakes that we saw happening that were actually supported, you know, by the federal government.
And it's just a practical point here, but it's an important one. And you make the point in your book, if people fully understood the actual value of the property they have, they wouldn't sell cheap, and that would increase the chances that you retain people in the neighborhood.
Absolutely, and it is the whole point of what we're talking about. It's like recognizing that if given an opportunity to understand what's going on, people everywhere will actually respond to that. But if you keep telling people and showing them that somehow or another their communities don't matter, that there's no real value there, then essentially what we're doing is pulling the wool over their eyes and not giving them the benefit of the doubt that they could actually create, you know, wealth within their own community that benefits them.
Majora Carter is author of the book Reclaiming Your Community. You don't have to move out of your neighborhood to live in a better one. And here's that one trace of my grandfather in the paper 51 years ago.
Hi Fleischer, who has run High's Bar and Grill at 5302 3rd Avenue for the last 26 years, recalled his surprise several years ago at the calling cards of real estate speculators that suddenly seemed to flood the neighborhood.
As read by my Uncle Sam Fleischer, High's son, the original New York Times piece by Ralph Blumenthal ran under the headline, Sunset Park Learns Why It Went Downhill. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.